As you may recall, this council selected Pond and Company as our consultant to take us through our first comprehensive planning process. They have since been hard at work collecting data, which is called the community assessment, which is a document we'll come back to you at a later date, and also the community participation plan. And there's a rough draft of that in your package tonight. Pond is here. Michelle Alexander will be leading the presentation. And I'm sorry, now we need to ask you to swivel the other way to, we have a brief PowerPoint presentation that is going to be an overview of the comprehensive planning process to give you a picture of all three pieces of information that will be coming to you and the process of how those pieces are created.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. And I'm Michelle Alexander. Dan Cohen is also here from Pond and Company. He's the director of planning. Pond and Company partnered with Arcadis and also with Ross and Associates to work on your comprehensive plan. We're thrilled you selected us. It's a very exciting opportunity to work with a new city, especially when you've got such an engaged community as we move forward. In your packet, you have two items. You have a draft participation plan. We will be addressing the calendar. There are some, we have to work out the scheduling issues with your other scheduled meetings. We also gave to you in the back of that packet some roles for your steering committee. So tonight I'll be pretty brief. I'm just going to let you know and talk to the folks here what the process entails and to talk about the schedule so you know what to anticipate and how to prepare for the next coming months. And then to talk to you about that steering committee because that's your homework. We're going to talk about how to select that, make some recommendations. It's yours to appoint, but we'd like to provide some recommendations. First of all, the structure of the planning process really starts with the community. The steering committee will also be a guiding force and will make recommendations. And the information and recommendations and input comes through your consultant team as well as Jennifer Peterson and her staff. And we are already talking with department heads during the community assessment component. So we're working with staff to make sure what we're talking about at a vision also makes sense and works administratively and your constraints in the environment, engineering, and budget-wise so we can filter through and make a plan that you can put action to as we make a recommendation. That all comes to you. City Council makes the final decision. So we'll be making recommendations, but we also always remind the community members that come to the workshops at the end of the day, these are recommendations, and you're the body that will make the final determination. So we say that so that we're managing expectations. What gets heard gets discussed through all of the realities of your city budgets and the reality of your built environment to bring to you a recommendation that you then may amend. You may not take our recommendation. So we want to make that clear how the process works to your citizens. The comprehensive plan, very briefly, has several components. It's a vision for the future of your community. It also involves an assessment of existing conditions and trends, which is just supposed to be just data-driven. And we are, again, like I said, working with your staff to make sure we understand that. But it's also a policy guide that addresses your issues and opportunities and then comes together in a format called a community agenda. The document community agenda means that's your action plan. That's the heart of your comprehensive plan. Those components then are a community assessment. There's a required to have this document that you have of the participation plan, and then we come together with a community agenda. The components of the community assessment, we come to you in a couple of weeks, is a document that has supposed to be an objective analysis of what's happening in your communities, a preliminary list of issues and opportunities. There's also areas, we're supposed to map out areas of special attention, and that again could be a range of items, whether it's natural and cultural resources, the types of community, areas in your community that are likely to undergo change, and to bring that to the policy discussion then when we meet with the community. So they're armed. The whole point of that assessment is to arm the community with data and information. We also do a preliminary look at what's called character areas, kind of give a descriptor of different areas of your community. We meet at the workshops and with your community and say, does this make sense? What do you really want for your future, for your future development areas? The community agenda really asks at the vision process where we have a couple of workshops saying, who do we want to become? How are we going to get there? We walk through that to come up with components like a future development map, as well as policy. And it's really exciting about the sustainable development, for example, to help you write the program for it, to come up with policy statements as examples of ways to consider different issues for the community. The community agenda is also important to remind you. I know you've gone through a lot of training, I'm sure, as you're taking on zoning decisions. But the comprehensive plan is really important because it's the legal basis for your decision. So whatever comes out of the comprehensive plan and gets translated for your zoning decisions are reflected and legally look back and say, well, did you plan for that? Was that in your comprehensive plan when you made those zoning decisions? So there's quite gravity behind it and seriousness behind this policy document. For the issues and opportunities that we identify with the community, for every one of them, you don't want it to be a laundry list. You don't want it to be everything in the kitchen sink. You really want it to be your list of issues and opportunities that you will then have policies for. So the rules do require, if we're going to have on that list, let's put on that list things you will put in an actionable policy agenda for it. Anything on that? The areas that are covered in the comp plan are across the board. Land use decisions, transportation and transit, housing, services, population, economic development, community facilities, natural and cultural resources, intergovernment coordination. So I just get them saying it's not supposed to be a laundry list, and then I give you this list. But it's the intent is to make it an action item. So we're going to work to have community meetings that focus on what is most important to the community and what can you accomplish in the next 5 years, and then what do you want to look like in the long term, and how to keep that action plan active and a policy document that you can bring out on a regular basis and use actively. That is a very brief synopsis. We'll provide a PowerPoint on your webpage. We'll talk with Jennifer and modify, make sure it's correct, and make it available so the community can say they've heard about the comprehensive plan. They want to understand the components of it. In your packet, you also have an overall schedule, a detailed schedule. One of the first things we're asking is that you consider appointing a steering committee. We do recommend that you keep it relatively small. We were saying maybe between 8 and 12 members. And the reason to keep your steering committee somewhat small is to keep it really efficient and so that decisions can be made. We do anticipate a broad community involvement and a lot of folks coming to the workshops and the community meetings and getting input, and we really rely on that committee to keep us targeted and making decisions and making recommendations. The other important thing about the committee is it really needs to be very representative. There's a lot of times we want to put our natural leaders, folks that have naturally or who have taken assumed leadership positions, and that's important to have on that committee, but you need to also consider folks who aren't represented, who don't usually come to your meetings, and let's make an effort to identify maybe some of the underserved population so that they're also on the steering committee. You'd be surprised the things that we don't consider necessarily from our own worldview when you make sure you have a broad representation. On top of that, DCA, that's the Department of Community Affairs, they regulate it, make sure that we're doing everything the state requires for your comprehensive plan. They also require that you have diversity and that it's a broad representation. So we encourage you to think of folks that you not only know maybe from the business community, homeowners association, civic, church, other leadership, educational institutions, but folks that maybe can help you identify some you don't know to serve on that committee. We also look at it and recommend you keep some flexibility. If we come together and some of the community meetings turn out that we didn't include a certain subset of your community, we'd come to you and ask you that we go ahead and appoint someone or one of the folks that came in to keep it a living body, that it expands to meet the needs if we're not able to come up with that right off from this first appointment. It's not the kind of, it's an informal committee in the sense that it's not a public hearing. They are only a recommending body, so the formation of it can stay somewhat informal. And Jennifer, as I understand it, will come to you next week to talk to you, see if you have some names for that so we can get started to keep on the schedule. We do look to complete this by December of 2009. We would have regular committee meetings with your steering committee, so it's got to be whoever we appoint. We're asking that they do recognize we're asking them to come at least once a month to meetings. We'd like them to at least take turns amongst the whole committee to come to the community workshops, not require them to come to every one of them, but we need that filter. We need to make sure that as the consultant team that we're hearing things correctly and how to filter and understand the information that got said at committee meetings and what didn't get said. And also to help us advertise and get the word out. We'll rely on your steering committee to do that. The packet has some tentative dates. We thought it important to start at the beginning to have on your web page and announce maybe in your newspapers all of the community meetings at the beginning. We did look at those for the summer and to give everyone a chance to mark their calendars to make sure they could attend some of the community meetings. I'm going to leave it at that. I just wanted to make sure we got a chance to introduce ourselves, let you know we are putting together the community assessment, and make sure you understood what was coming up in the next few weeks. If you had any questions for
Dan. Yes, Dan. How important is it for the people on this committee to have some kind of background in planning? As you know, we've got a planning board that we've set up as part of our organizational structure.
Sure.
I mean, would it make sense to have a combination of community leadership roles as well as people who have a vested knowledge of community planning, steering committee like that? Would that make sense?
At least one person. It does make sense. Maybe the chair of a planning commission or a member, maybe the chair appoints someone from your planning commission. It's useful. I don't think it's a requirement, though. I think you need to have the confidence to rely on your planning staff and the consultants to hear from the diversity of that of the steering committee on the planning issue. So it's not a requirement, but it is useful if you have someone who's in one of those positions. Some cities choose to only have it be heads of their zoning board of appeals, their planning commission chair, members of committees only already. But we would encourage that you think beyond that, especially from the business community and some of your civic leagues and associations that you have, and education and others.
We do have stakeholders that have different views of the city and what the needs of the cities are and how it should be, in fact, rolled out.
Right.
The person at the Nature Center may have a different view of the city than at Dunwoody Woman's Club.
That's right.
The people at Dunwoody Homeowners Association may have a different view of it than somebody that's a leader in the church organization. So I think all these should would be.
And we recognize we won't always come to consensus. And so part of our job is to keep the process moving and recognizing there's a difference of opinion. We're going to duly note it and bring it to council. To do what we best we can to reconcile, but like you said, there's going to be diverse opinions in there.
Thank you. My question was Danny, so you pretty well answered that. I think it almost seems like the members of this, you have to have a core that really kind of understand planning and know the city a little bit. I mean, and then you have everyone else come in, I would present. But somebody has to be the guiding force here, unless somebody comes in once you go to the highway down the middle of it, you can't quite go there. I think that's the key. I guess it's kind of like almost a public hearing in a small group. Is that what I would call this?
The steering committee?
Yes.
I think more, well, the consultant team needs to facilitate that that discussion, and we'll be working within a structure of the comp plan to walk through both, like I said, here's the data, here are your real constraints, here's the trade-offs for different decisions, the pros and cons, So it doesn't necessarily get into, my experience hasn't been that it's been like a public hearing, honestly, especially for a city like this where everyone's ready to roll up their sleeves and let's make it work and move forward. And also the steering committee is really to make recommendations. We will also be going then into the community meetings and with large groups, having similar conversations, but then as we put it into document, using the steering committee to help us on the drafts of the documents.
We also have a community council, and basically, you know, those things. I think I liked your idea of picking people off of each one of those committees because, you know, the planning committee's got the best expertise that we have, probably in the community. That's why they're there. We need everybody's opinion. I think we need expert opinion on there also to the extent that we can.
So to kind of circle the wagons on this, what I hear you saying is that if we took one from the planning commission, Michelle, I mean, what I'm hearing you saying is they don't need to be experts. Y'all will guide them.
I think it's useful to have someone from a representative who has the planning experience, but I think the intent is really to have folks with different interests who care about different pieces of your community. So to not really rely only on people who work on the planning field. You do want to understand the real estate, the business community, the services, folks who provide services. I would say it would be more important to have someone who's a service provider than it is to have a planner, because you've got an excellent planning director. I'd like to think you picked an excellent planning firm to translate some of this. And also, you will be having planning, there will be public hearings. So we will be talking through your council process and the planning commission to talk through, and they'll have opportunities to give their input and participate. So that's a preference, a policy choice. I've seen different models. I think it's the range of diversity will benefit.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
What do you think you have deliverables on? What's the schedule for deliverables on this?
In your packet, what page do you have on there? I apologize. On 6, it shows a complete schedule. But what we've calendared, the most immediate set of items, is to bring to you, before a public hearing, May 26th, the community assessment and the participation plan. Then through the summer, to conduct community workshops to help draft the community agenda. And so by December, bring to you a draft of the whole comprehensive plan.
What are the bylaws that I read through the packet this afternoon, yesterday, about that myself and council nominates these members? What is allowing for that? I mean, is that in our charter? Is that somewhere else? Is that a Brian question?
Yeah,
what's setting that policy?
Yeah, we have both the charter and the zoning ordinance administration that sets how all of these committees are appointed.
Okay, and then if that's correct, then as I understand it, if I read it right, then all of the nominations are mine with council approval. Is that correct?
That's absolutely true. Okay. So for the actual steering committee, Michelle, you said basically you're looking for 8 to 12 members on that committee. Is that a good number that you see in most places?
Yeah, and that assumption was each one of you probably want your own representative, one person for each of you, and then additionally, either a city administrator, like I said, a chair maybe of your planning commission, and then maybe one or two people that you see none of you nominated to represent a broader set of the community.
Do you normally, just out of curiosity, this may be a really silly question, but we have a good percentage of transient population in apartments, and just by given nature, they're transient. It's very hard to get a foothold on individuals. How do you normally see that dealt with as far as like diversity goes?
Are you saying transient of homeless, or are you saying people aren't homeowners?
Not homeowners.
I've always
been a bunch of apartment builders. I mean, you have business members who are, I'm sure, and community members who are active in different civic leagues and library councils and a range of things. I haven't come across that as a limitation in terms of appointing council members. It could be a question we ask and make sure. We can also talk to different associations where I would say your young professionals are may be likely not to have a home. And so if you have a young professional or a junior league, you may have folks who are not homeowners but live here and reside here but I'm renting.
But then it would be transient, not transient. Right? All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Any other questions? All right. Wonderful.
Thank you.
Jennifer, do you have anything to add to this?
Not in particular. I would just stress that diversity is a very important component of the steering committee, and I wouldn't be timid or afraid to pick people that normally are not in the process. Mm-hmm. Because we have a professional planning staff and we have consultants. We can do the technical part of the planning. We need people that can do what we can't do. We need people to lay out where we've come from, where we're going, set a vision, those sorts of things. Technical documents and procedures and state laws, we've got that covered.
Okay. Any questions for Jennifer while I'm on that? Okay, go ahead, Ben.
I just jotted down some notes about the cross-section of the community. There's just some part of this that we start to get out there with community organizations, with PCID, you have the planning commission, the community council, you have our own staff, city council, education, religious, and then I emphasize local business representation, someone that lives and owns a small business, and the builder, and then just some basic citizens across the spectrum. I just jotted down while she was talking here to try to get a basic cross-section of our city.
Yep, I think you're, I'm with you. I think you're on the right path. So we'll bring this up later this week. I guess start gathering nominations and decide who to funnel it through. Maybe Jennifer or maybe Jen. We'll talk, Warren. But it's not going to be me. I'm not going to be the holder of the list anymore. I've resigned that position after these last boards. Keep in mind, too, that we'll need to decide that the recommendation is no more than 13 members, so I think we should probably stick to that or considerably less. But we can ferret that out. Any other discussion on this before we move on? All right, Warren.